me talk about 21 days that will revolutionize your life. In fact, as we move into this, and I was praying, I said, Lord, what do we call this fast? Okay, it's a Daniel 10 fast, and I'll prove that to you in just a moment. But what do we want to call this? And I couldn't get anything out of my heart except for the awakening fast. Beginning to walk with our eyes wide open. Beginning to see things like we've never seen before. How many of you know our nation is at a major crossroads right now? In fact, understand something. There's a Freedom of Choice Act that's about to be voted on in Congress, and most likely it'll pass. And this, what I would call a demonic act, removes all limitations on abortion. We need to pray as a church and rise up. There are things that are happening. Israel is in war right now. How many of you know we pray for Israel? So we're going to use this time to not just focus on ourselves, but how many of you know our economy needs a move of God? People that are losing jobs, things like that. And so look at what Romans 13:11 says, and I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Version. And it says this: besides this, you know what a critical hour this is. How it is high time now for you to wake up out of your sleep. That means rouse to reality. For salvation or final deliverance is nearer to us now than we first believed, adhered to, trusted in, relied on Christ the Messiah. What are you talking about? Do you know what fasting is? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not real good at it. I think we had a New Year's resolution last year where we would try to fast the first 3 days of every month. You totally failed on that. And because you didn't remind me about it, and we just went and ate together. But I'm not real good at fasting. And maybe it's because my flesh wins or whatever, but I want to be better at it. And last year was life-changing for me in those 21 days. And again, Friday I'll start for 3 days with water only. Well, you know what? The Bible says you're not supposed to tell everybody. Well, no, we're doing this together. Now, that doesn't mean I go to the convenience store and go, oh, dude, I'd love to have that Pepsi, but I'm fasting. Yeah. Call me holy as I'm walking out the door. I'm not going to do that. But at the same time, we're all in agreement on this thing. So fasting is the ability to say no to my flesh in order to pursue His presence. How many of you know He's not a prostitute? You don't fast to get something from God. I just believe that with all my heart. You fast to know God. In the knowing God, miracles take place in your life. So you don't fast to get things. Well, we're filling out a card, Pastor. Yeah, these are prayer requests. These are things that you desire to see God do in your life. And these are, when we fill these out, what is my goals? What are my ministry goals? Listen, there's something about taking 21 days. You know what's amazing is some of these goals may even change by the end of the 21 days. God may totally revolutionize the way you think. Boy, he's done it in me. If you look at Pat 3 years ago and look at Pat right now, completely different person. Because God had to take me through some things. He had to walk some things outside of me. What do you mean? How many of you know Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It doesn't say stop being hungry. So in this critical moment in history, look at Joel chapter 2, verse 12. And it kind of defines a really holy fast. It says, even now, and I'm going to just give you some things really quick, and I'm going to turn it to Pastor Sean. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and I hope you're taking notes. You need paper. Paper doesn't forget. It takes paper to start a fire, right? Watch. Even now, declares the Lord. Now, let me stop right there. Us meeting right now was birthed inside of us through a holy fast. This church, this coming together of what we've become at the summit is because I decided to fast. Because I was miserable. There's two reasons for frustration. God will make you physically frustrated and you'll hate where you live. Or He'll make you spiritually frustrated and you can't feel Him. It's like a ceiling. But Jim, if He ever makes you physically and spiritually frustrated at the same time, He's trying to change your spiritual address. He's trying to take you to another level. I call it Holy Spirit midlife crisis. You'll go through a season where nothing makes you happy. You'll cry all the time and you're like, what is going on? I should be so happy. Everybody's healthy. Everything's perfect. I can't figure it out. One time when I was walking through one of those seasons, I was praying and I said, God, what's going on in me? And I'm just weeping. And He said, you're mourning your own death. You're mourning dreams that weren't necessarily birthed by me, son. It was during that time that I have found that every time I need a spiritual wind of God to hit my life, I fast. It is almost one of those times where you go, Enough's enough. Watch this. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your heart. Do you know what that means? Crush my heart. Tear my heart apart. Pull out the things in there. Do open heart surgery in me, O Lord. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. You know what it says right there? It says, when I rent my heart, when I go into the fasting mode, he stops what maybe could have been coming your direction. That's what it says right there. And you won't know what that is until you get to heaven. And you're going to rent Holy Spirit bloopers. And you're going to rent things that could have been in your film. Could have been in your movie of your life. But watch this. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing of grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, right? Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will begin to heal their land. What are you talking about? Isaiah 58 is the best fasting chapter in the Bible. Just like you have the love chapter in Corinthians, just like you have the rapture chapter. This is the chapter on why we fast. Is not this kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? Folks, I taught on it when I did this, the teaching, Where's Their God? How many times, whether it was George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or different people during war would go into a fast? I think of the little college in Wales that called a 30-day fast with their students. And by the end of that 30 days, on the 30th day, the tide turned and the Allies began to win the war in World War II. See, what you have to understand is when you begin to fast, you know what it does? It awakens. It awakens the sensitivity of God in your life. Are you still with me? Anybody excited yet? I cannot wait to start the fast, personally. I know that about the third day, I'm going to want to scream. I know that that night, because I'm a late-night muncher, I know that popcorn will be screaming my name. The good thing about the Daniel fast is you can have it. But not on the 3 days of water only. Anyway, and I'm going to try to give you some of that in just a moment, some practical steps, but watch. Is not this kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? If you're tired of seeing people oppressed, do this. Because you'll be like Jim Autry, who couldn't be here tonight because he was working, who's driving down the road today with a fellow who's 30 years old, who is lost as can be, and Jim spends the day with him, pounding him with scripture. And by the end of the day, the young man's weeping and gave his heart to Christ. Somebody give God an praise offering. Verse 7, is it not to share your food with the hungry? Uh-oh, you stop. Now, I never knew I was going to have to do an AOL. I don't want to take Pastor Sean's sermon from him, but is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? You know what's going to happen? You start fasting, you're going to start seeing with different eyes. That person you ignore in downtown Birmingham, you're not going to be able to ignore him anymore. You may even start weeping again like you did as children and couldn't understand why dad wouldn't pull over. You know what I'm saying? Because I can remember as a boy going, well, why don't we give him a ride? Because you'll get shot. But something will change in you. Like the night that I went to the store to get some newspapers of Abby. Abby had made it in the paper for that Polar Express thing that we went to. And this fella came up to me and started asking me for a ride. And I had gone all over to find a newspaper. Couldn't find any for Birmingham News. It was late at night. And I gave him a ride to the deep part of Birmingham. And I didn't tell Karen what I'd done. And I got home and she said, why did you do that? I said, because God told me to. And before it was over with, the fellow was weeping in my truck. I'm not saying do that kind of stuff all the time. I'm saying use wisdom, listen to the Holy Spirit. But I'll move on because this is not where I was going. To clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Listen, do you understand? Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will call for help and he will say, I'm right here. When you begin to fast, it's as if you and him are arm in arm It is a different mentality. You're going to be weird a little bit, okay? And I'm going to give some warnings on that in just a moment. But you're going to begin to think differently. You see differently. You don't think like the world. You don't look at somebody and say, hey, I'll be praying for you. No, you say, hey, give me your hand. Let's pray right now. It's a different mindset. You don't walk around suddenly with, hey, we'll get back to you on that. Or hey, I'll make sure I'm praying. And we usually lie when we say that because we don't do it. But something changes inside of you. Now watch. Fasting in the Hebrew is psalm. It is to abstain from food and to be absent of something you relied upon in order to discipline self. Did you know that? Also decline in any area of abundance in order to grow abundantly in another area. James 5, verse 16, in the Amplified Version, it says, confess to one another. Therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored. It means to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. Isn't that cool right there? So during this time, you don't just fast. How many of you know a fast is not a hunger strike? And it's also not a diet. Okay, if you lose some weight, good. You're probably going to put it back on afterward. But what you have to understand is, you're not just, okay, we'll go deeper. Hold on. Watch. What does Daniel say in Daniel chapter 10? Because see, I want to find out, why do we do 21 days? See, Daniel fasts. The best time for fasting is the beginning of the year. You set the course of your entire year. Things will happen in June and July that are a result of the fast in the beginning of the year. I believe that. We're in this building because if you looked at my list that I put down last year at this time, if you listen to Where Is There God, that sermon, I told you in that sermon, I am fasting for us to get a decent building because this time last year we were meeting in a gymnasium that stunk. Is anybody with me so far? Somebody give God a praise for miracles. It didn't happen for us till August and we didn't move in till October, but we set things in course of action way back in February when we did the fast last year, and we said we're going to fast because this just isn't working right here, because we would be in the middle of a service and basketball players would come in. Right? Watch. Do you understand? Daniel 10:3, I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. I don't know what the lotion thing is, so we're not going there, okay? Please use lotions. Please take a shower. Or we'll be fasting you. All right? Somebody asked me last year, what's the whole lotion thing? I went, I don't know, dude. I don't have dry skin. Here we go. I'm oily. Karen, why'd you laugh at that? Seriously. If I start getting embarrassed, I take my jacket off. Remember that. Do you know that there's breakthrough periods that come when you fast? Did you understand that? Everybody understands it, right? In fact, a half fast or half a day at 3 p.m., you can get a breakthrough. A 24-hour fast, a three-day fast. People always experience incredible breakthroughs after 3 days. Then breakthroughs come at 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, and 40 days. It's proven throughout God's word. We know that Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness and destroyed the plan of the enemy. Matthew 4, 1. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Stop right there. That is a scripture that very rarely ever gets touched on. But what that tells me is sometimes nothing can be trusted till it's tested. Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness. But if you study that scripture and go through all three temptations, which represent every sin that you could face in your life, by the way, that all of a sudden at the end of those 40 days, it says, and his reputation grew. You know what happened? He passed the test. After those 40 days, his ministry became known. Right? Being full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit to face some temptation, to go through some things. How many of you know? It tells us in Hebrews, that I believe it's Hebrews chapter 5, that he faced every possible temptation we could face. 1 Corinthians 10 says, he always gives me a way out of temptation. An open door. Sometimes we have to lay the flesh down and let the will of God step in and get away from whatever's facing us, right? Everybody still with me, right? What did the tempter say to him? If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. People don't ever talk about the fact that he was starving. He was sitting there. He was hungry. He wasn't busy like us all day long where we don't think about food till at night when your head's pulsating because you haven't ate. No. He's been sitting there doing war. He's exhausted. He needs sustenance. And of course, the enemy says, here you go, pal. Turn these into bread. But see, it may seem strange that breakthroughs come in lengths of days, but it's much like tithing. You don't get a breakthrough at 6%. Oh. You don't get a breakthrough at 8%. You get a breakthrough at the DECA point, at the 10%. And it just keeps going. Why? Because the Bible says God honors the tenth. I believe that with all my heart. In the same way, there is godly power released when you fast 21 days. The number three is the Trinity. This expresses holiness. And Proverbs says a threefold cord cannot be broken. Three represents covenant, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then seven is the number of perfection. 7 days in a week, Israel marched seven times around Jericho. So 21 is the number of holy perfection, a place where you begin to change. Are you with me so far? So you can expect visitations. Watch now. Dreams. War. All hell to break loose. People always tell me, you know what? People warn me, don't do a fast in your church because any sin is going to come out. Because it's kind of like when you send when you dam up a river and then release it, it goes through and it washes everything to the surface. All the junk comes to the surface first before it floats back down. And it floats up so you can get rid of it. So what you got to understand is there is stuff that's going to come out of your life. I've told you several times about the friend of mine in Chicago, pastors an incredible African-American church. But he decided to do a 40-day fast, and he hid away in his prayer closet for 40 days in a back bedroom in his house. At the end of 40 days, and I've told this over and over, but maybe some of you has not heard this. But he comes out of the room, and when he walks out into the kitchen, his wife says something to him. He cusses her and pushes her down. Never done anything like that in his life. Was raised in a home like that. He's devastated. She's devastated. They break into an argument, a verbal argument. And finally, before it's over with, he's crawling back to his prayer room, gets in there and says, God, I just fasted for 40 days. It's useless. And the Lord spoke to him and said, it was in you the whole time. The fasting brought it out. Now deal with it. See, there's some things that will happen when you be. So let me give you five practical things that you have to know about fasting. Number one, don't change the way you look. What do you mean? Get rid of your hunger strike mentality. You're not Gandhi. Okay? Fasting requires a change in the heart and also in temperament. See, what you got to understand is don't expect anyone to understand what you're doing. There's people that fast and you know it. Because if you're eating a big cheeseburger in front of them, they're like. And you're like, hey, you want some? No! And you're going to hell for eating it, you know? Listen to what I'm saying. Hey, your kids don't get fasting. In fact, they're going to hate it. Because you're going to cook supper and they're going to be like, seriously, this is what we're eating? But when you fast, don't, what is the Bible going to say? The Bible tells us in Matthew 6, verse 16, it says, when you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. Everybody do that. Disfigure your face. Just do it. It feels good to do something like that. Look at somebody and do it. And because the Bible, Karen, do it. That's called disfiguring. Okay? The Bible tells me not to do it. It tells me when I'm fasting to look normal. Now, I know that's hard for me. But it says, I tell you the truth, they all receive the reward in full. So if you decide to do that and you want to walk around your office and act that way, just go ahead and eat. You've already got your reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to the Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Isn't that what God's word says right there? Write this down, number two. Develop a routine for the next 21 days. This is simple stuff. Set a schedule. Plan your meals. Say no to things that could interrupt your fast. If you set a routine, and I encourage you to pray three times a day. I really do encourage that. That's what Daniel did. I encourage you to find three times a day that you hide away. And I'll get into deeper because, well, that's hard to do where I work at, Pastor. Okay, I'll help you with that. But at the same time, if something could interrupt that routine that you're putting in place, that you're going to sit down and write out, then don't do it. If somebody calls and says, hey, the movie starts at 5:30, but you've set up your prayer from 5 to 6, don't go to the movie. I'm not being legalistic. I'm telling you, it's just something about having a routine. You still with me? Prioritize your life. This is a great way to get organized, by the way. Make sure you always have water on you. If you're on medication, use wisdom. Talk to your doctor before doing the fast. Most doctors will probably tell you, hey, this is good, but you need to make sure you get this in your body if you have to have protein or whatever. And that's okay. We're not legalistic about this. We're not weird about it. Listen, if you're on medication, use that wisdom. Guard legalism. And I promise you, about the seventh day, legalism will hit your life. Karen, I think we got an argument during the fast last year, didn't we? About corn chips. It's natural. Corn chips are good for you. But we're in the kitchen arguing about corn chips. And Karen was wrong. And then we got this new thing that proves she was right. But I was right for a year. Mm. And so listen, what I'm saying to you. Anyway. Reread the Gospels. I dare you to reread the Gospels. Do you know that I believe it's Oral Roberts who saw so many healing miracles. He spent 30 days doing nothing but reading the four Gospels. And that's all he would read, day and night. And then miracles began to birth in his life. Reread the Gospels. Choose a proverb. Let me give you an example. We're starting on the 12th. Read Proverbs chapter 12. I'm just telling you how to do it. It's just simple. Turn worship on in your home. It's hard to argue when you got worship going on, isn't it? I want to show you the glory. Shut up over there. Those two things don't work. Honey, go turn the worship off so we can fight. Listen, this is a time of cleansing. It's a time of cleaning out. Number three, fasting requires discipline. The first 3 days are the worst. It's not a diet. Diets fail. Fasting is about desire for a deeper walk. Daniel 10:3, I ate no choice food, no meat or wine, touched my lips, and I used no lotions. What was he saying? I drew a line in the sand. I said, I'm not going to do this. Number four, write this down. Keep a journal. This is just simple stuff. Write down the revelation. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write down the revelation and run with it. And at the proper time, he will reveal what it meant. What you got to understand is, keep a journal beside you. God will begin to speak things to you that blow your mind. But now watch. Don't tell everybody what God's doing. Most of the time, it's for you. In other words, over the next 21 days, when we start this on Monday, I don't need everyone to call me with a prophetic word. Trust the Lord that He'll bring it. He talks to me too. It's the coolest thing how we do that. No, I mean, seriously. But sometimes fasting can produce a mentality that you're the only one that can hear from God. Mike Bickle, who pastors IHOP out in Missouri, made this statement, and he is a very prophetic church, and they're really into prayer and the bowls and harps and all that kind of stuff and 24/7 prayer. But he said the three number one problems in the church are this. He said the prophets, the worship leaders. Are everybody still with me? Right? He said the prophets, the worship leaders, and what was the third one? And the prayer warriors. He said, because the prophets think they're the only ones that can hear from God. The worship leaders think they're the only ones that can touch the heart of God. Nobody else knows how to worship. And the prayer warriors think they're the only ones that pray. So they cause all kinds of problems in the church. Folks, can I tell you that we don't have that problem here at the Summit? I hope every one of you walk in a prophetic anointing. I hope every one of you are a worshiper. And I hope every one of you know how to pray. Okay? But before you run around giving a word to everyone, why don't you let God talk to them first? Is that okay if I share stuff like that? Because I've seen fasting mess up churches. God will show up. Understand, though, that there are proper times for revelation to be revealed. Fasting is about you first, not everybody else. You'll find out if you have a religious spirit, if while you're fasting, everything you get from God is about somebody else. I'm going to say that again. You will find out you have a religious spirit if while you're fasting, everything you get is about everybody else and not about you. You are, that's pharisaical, okay? What are the rewards of fasting? Is a deeper understanding of who? You. He wants you to know you. He wants you to know the things that make you tick and the things that make you go off. Watch. Establish a place to go and pray each day. Find a place, a bedroom, a car, a park. I've got a pastor friend of mine that every day leaves the office because he can't get away from people, and he goes to a park and walks. Doesn't take his cell phone with him. Bathroom. I'll never forget, I was a youth pastor in Indianapolis, and there was one little girl by the name of Tirza that would every day on Wednesday, because we called that Holy Day, this is years ago when I was a youth pastor, she would go into Ben Davis High School, it's a big high school in Indianapolis, she would go every Wednesday into a stall in the bathroom and cry out to God. Eventually, we got a call from the principal that said, "We don't understand what you're doing, but your youth ministry is killing our budget because nobody eats on Wednesday." Same thing happened in Decatur. All they do is sit and pray. I mean, I seriously got that call. What do you want me to do? Because they began to understand the power of fasting. What do you mean? Get selfish. Find some place that is hidden from the world. The Bible says, go in and shut the door behind you, is what Jesus said when you pray. Get real. Get hungry. Get pure. Husband and wives, help each other. It's your turn to go pray. I'll take care of the kids. You go spend time with God. I've got the kids right now. Help each other during this time. You want to see each other grow. You really don't have a marriage unless you really love seeing each other grow spiritually. And if you want everyone else touched by God but your spouse, something is wrong with you. Man, I love it when Karen gets touched by the Lord. And now watch. Realize that there are times when you have to play catch up. But don't live if you say, you know what, this came up and this came up. Because I promise you there will be distractions that will come up during this fast that you've never dealt with before in your life. But you're not playing catch up. Okay, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemning spirit. You just start over that night. Don't feel guilty for stuff. Don't get weird about it. And don't start screaming if you're in the middle of something and your family's, somebody's at your front door and all of a sudden you're like, "Hey, can you shut up? I've got to go pray." No. I know none of you will do that. Pastor Sean. Now watch. Your environment is the number one key to hindrances to a fast. You'll find yourself longing to hide away with God, and your family will not understand. So plan ahead. Meaning children, they don't understand. By the way, again, interruptions are going to get worse during this time. God expects you to fast to establish the purpose in your life. Let me give you five attitudes for fasting. What are they? Number one. Desire something new. Change the way you think. Don't look for excuses. Walk in. Matthew 7, verse 7 through 8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock." Holy cow. You know what that tells me? I honestly believe that when we get to heaven, there's going to be like rooms of blessings that were never opened, that have like crime scene tape over them. Because people did not know how to ask, seek, knock. Three ways to get your miracle. You ask, you seek Him, and you knock on the heart of God. You knock on those doors. What does it say? "For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened." Are you getting this so far? So go in with a mentality. Number two, desire to repent for things of the past and present. God, during your fast, will begin to bring things out that you never got free of. "Well, but He's covered all of my sins, and it's all under the blood, and I prayed a one big prayer." And yeah, but there's things that God has to bring out of your life. I really believe that. What does Joel 2 say? The Bible tells me that, "Rend your heart, not your garments, return to the Lord, for He is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and He relents from sinning calamity." What does that mean? I need during my fast, and the Joel 2 chapter is a fasting chapter, when he said, "Call a sacred assembly," I need to find out stuff that has snuck into my life. Maybe my tongue's out of control. Maybe I say things I shouldn't say anymore. You better get ready. And you need to not live in guilt during your fast, but God will continually, everything you do, you'll feel in your spirit, man, right there, "Ugh, I shouldn't have done that." Get ready to say you're sorry a lot during your fast. Are you with me so far? So desire to repent of those things, those wrong covenants, things that were created that you shouldn't have had in your life. God will begin to cleanse you of that. Number three, desire to a breakthrough in areas of bondage. Psalm 69 verse 10 talks about that. "When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But I pray to you, O Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the quicksand. Don't let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters." Desire a breakthrough in areas of bondage. Things that will be around. God will even restore relationships. How many of you awake so far? Isaiah 58:6. "Is not this kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice?" You know what may happen? You may get a raise during this time. You may get a promoted Maybe you've not ever, maybe you've been ignored for years where you work at. Maybe something in your family went wrong a long time ago, and all of a sudden a phone call is going to come in. And you won't even think about it till later. After the fast, you'll go, wow, that happened during my fasting time, during that 21 days. So live in expectation of miracles. Write that down. Live in expectation of miracles. Acts 10, verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. You better get ready, because see, it was a fast that took place the summer before we started the summit, that I was in a hotel room in the Hilton in Santa Cruz, California, and I'm praying, going, God, what do you want us to do? I'm miserable on the road. We're seeing thousands saved nearly every week, but I'm hating it. I am miserable. I'm lonely. I'm tired. And suddenly, as I'm praying, I look over and I see an angel standing in the corner of the room. It's only happened to me twice in my life. And I saw it. I could draw it. And God said, I just want you to know we're here, that you're on the right path. Get ready. Crazy stuff's going to happen when you start fasting. Number five, write this down. Attacks are a sign that you're doing it right. That's an attitude thing, but watch. So in other words, stay on guard. Stay on guard. Psalms 109, verse 24. My knees give away from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers, and when they see me, they shake their heads. Get ready. Get ready. You think you've had a battle? When you start fasting, you put a bullseye on at that moment. The minute you wake up the next morning when you're starting your fast will be the hungriest day of your life. It will. It'll be crazy. You'll be a mile from Olive Garden and smelling it. Number six, understand this is your moment to do greater. What do you mean? Desire to go to the next level. John 14, 12. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you. It's an amplified version. If anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do things, the things that I do, and he will even do greater things than these. Yeah. Because I go to the Father. Oh, isn't that good stuff? I love that right there. He said, because I talk to my dad. I talk to the Father. 1 Corinthians 12:31. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces. This is the amplified, the higher gifts, the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a more excellent way. One that is better by far. And the highest of all this is love. You're going to find yourself, Tom, weeping for the guy you can't stand when you do this fast. You're going to find yourself looking at people and seeing them differently. Everything will change in you. Peashawn, you ready? God will begin to stir inside of you. Why did I do this? Why did I tell you this? Because if you'll do a fast, now I know some of you, Pastor, I have diabetes. But do you know, the Bible does say in Isaiah, that fasting chapter, that you can be healed. Sean's going to get into that. But I also want you to use wisdom. That's why we do a Daniel fast. And if you want to join me on Friday and do 3 days in no water, you do that. That's up to you. Don't call and tell me, because I will be angry those first 3 days. But on Sunday morning, when we launch Fire in the Winter, it may just get crazy in here. We may get miracles. We may have people that get rocked by God over the next few days. Summit, we're not called to be a normal church. I think you figured that out right now, or by now, that I can't do normal church. If you just want a nice little church to float in and float out and stop, we're the wrong place for you. I hope that's not the case. We just want to push you to greatness. Some of you are going to get entrepreneurial dreams over the next few days. You're going to get ideas. You're going to wake up and start writing. My friend that turned a motorcycle thing into a $1 million company was fasting when he had his dream. You know what I would tell you? I would tell you to get ready. And we're going to run this race together. I said to Karen last night, we were talking about everything that we could eat and couldn't. And I said, I can't dare do anything that I'm not to go against what I've asked you to do. I've got to be a right example. So I'm holding myself accountable. If I'm asking you to do it, I promise you I'll do it too. Because we're going to see dreams happen and miracles happen. I've got some personal dreams I need to see take place pretty quick. Some personal needs for the summit. What if it happens with us all doing the sacred assembly?
Well, so I truly hope that, what Pastor has done is begin to stir within you an expectation. And see, honestly, here's what we have to face. And I'm going to give you just a couple of principles of what to expect whenever you do begin to fast. But in all honesty, I think that if any of us have been raised in church, we began to realize that fasting, just that terminology itself, brings a weird connotation, something kind of visual, and it's this very heavy, depressing, I'm fasting, blah, no, 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 me, nee, nee. And you know, you got robes on, and you're some kind of a monk, and you know, you can survive on the nuts and berries and the roots, and there's something that, you know, and none of us think that's exciting. None of, I mean, when people used to tell me about fasting when I was a kid, I think, well, I'm not in that denomination when they fast. There's no sense in it. But what I want to show you, what Pastor began to really lead into, is if you're a believer, you should get excited when someone begins to say we're about to have a time of fasting. The same way that we get excited in worship, we should begin to revel in a time of fasting. Because it begins to bring something into our spirit that I think so many times is missing because we just don't teach about it enough. I love the idea of walking into 21 days where we are moving ourselves into a spiritual depth that many times we've never experienced before. See, I love it, and it excites my heart, and you should get excited. So you're going to see why you'll get excited here in just a moment. I'm going to just walk through as quickly as I can 10 simple things that you begin to expect. Begin to know it's a benefit of fasting. See, we love to have the benefit of giving. We love to have the benefit. In this book, one of the things that I love is the three-stranded cord that is not easily broken. You begin to understand this. As Christians, we give. As Christians, we pray. But the third strand of that cord that is not easily broken is fasting. Most of us are very good at giving. Most of us are very good at praying. But we say it's time to fast. It's like, I'm out for a couple of weeks, Pastor. I'll be back when the fast is over. But it's that fasting that adds that extra cord that is so uneasily broken. And I think there's many times in the depth of our Christianity, and really, to be very honest, it wasn't until probably, I don't know, just 3 or 4 years ago in my personal life, that I began to discover fasting adds something to your walk that you've never seen before. And I think many Christians are walking around and it has just been giving and it has been obedience and it has been a level of us never finding the fasting. We pray, but we don't pray and fast. So let me begin to show you this. I love this quote as they just go ahead and bring it up. Fasting is not to bring men into bondage, but to loose them from it. It's not to be an instrument of oppression, but of liberation. See, that should excite our spirit. I get to fast. I'm excited to fast. There's opportunity for me to join, not just with myself, but with individuals across this place, corporately, that we would say, we're about to do something, God, that, as you'll see in a moment, really gets your attention. And so this evening, can we get excited? Can you begin to say, I can, I have anticipation, because I'm beginning to do something that truly touches the heart of the Father. Just as I'm excited to give and watch a child enjoy receiving, we need to have that anticipation. Because if we really begin to walk into this, number one, we can expect this, that God will work miracles. Just 10 simple results or benefits of fasting. Number one is God works miracles. Hey, be honest. If it's just that one and that alone in my life, God's going to work miracles. Well, okay. Hey, keep your beef. I'll do some soy. I'm all right with that for a little while. Let God work some miracles within my life. What does it say in Isaiah chapter 58? Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Then righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Do you hear it? Your healing will quickly appear. There is miracle power as we begin to say, God, I'm fasting. Do something here. Now get this. The term of your fast does not limit the blessing of the fast. Just because I might fast for 1 week or I might fast for the 21 days, but the sowing of that fast is going to reap the ability for God to produce miracles for many, many, many days and many months and years even to come. I believe there are times that people who have gone through a 40-day fast still reap benefit to this day because it's a sowing principle of saying, God, watch the miracles begin to go forward. Scripture continues to say, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. Jehoshaphat was afraid and he turned his attention to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Why? Because he was surrounded at this point by three separate armies. There was no hope of Israel being able to have any victory. There was no hope here for Jehoshaphat. He called a fast and the Lord began to fight for them in a miracle fashion. Miracles are going to happen. I don't know if anybody in the room could say, I believe miracles are going to take place. Now keep it in your mind. We can't quantify miracles. See, we love to say that's a big miracle or that's a little miracle. No such thing, church. They're just miracles. Every time that God begins to move outside of the natural and into the supernatural realm, it's a miracle. So don't be trying to, don't get yourself caught into, I am trying to quantify. I'm praying for a big miracle here, God. Or if you just do this one, it's a little miracle. No, just expect God to go beyond the natural and do things outside of what we can accomplish. So God will work miracles. Number two, love it. And man, it's going to happen, and without us even realizing, pride begins to be removed. Every time in Scripture that you begin to look at fasting, it's tied to humility. Fasting produces humility. Well, why would that be? Because all we're really focusing on, especially those first 3 days that Pastor began to talk about, why is it so difficult? Because it's pulling an appetite out of us and replacing it with something that is satisfactory to our spirit. You know, the difference is most of us have never really gone hungry in life. Our appetite has not been met. If I miss one meal, I'm trying to meet my appetite, but I'm really not trying to quench my hunger. Go a couple of days without food. Go a couple of weeks without food, and now I'm trying to satisfy the hunger that my body is crying out for. But most of the time, we're just trying to meet our appetite. And see, when we begin to move into a fast, pride will be removed. The things that we need to satisfy ourselves, the things that we have developed as our own personal appetite, we begin to lay those things down for the satisfaction of the Spirit. And as that begins to happen, humility will find itself resting upon us. Psalm 35:13, I humbled myself my soul with fasting. Deuteronomy 8, this is what is written, beware lest you forget the Lord your God when you have eaten and you are satisfied. Can we just let that settle on us when we have eaten and we are satisfied? There are so many times I think we can move into a place. This is a good place, God. I'm satisfied here. I'm good. I don't need to grow anymore past where I am. I'm not seeking any more spiritual depth. When you begin to fast, instantaneously, something happens in your spirit that says we are going to that next level. There is a stirring that happens within you, and it's found because humility will begin to remove pride, and then that's when God can really begin to speak. That's when we can really begin to hear. Continuing on, your heart becomes proud and you forget your Lord. Hosea said the same thing in Hosea 13:6. Being satisfied, God is speaking, their heart became proud, therefore they forgot me. There's something about fasting that just reminds you how important God is. And it limits our flesh from becoming prideful. Thirdly, something else. I mean, get excited about this one. This one, I was speaking even and just praying right before coming in today. Our prayers become emphasized. Let me put it in this way for you to write it down. When we fast, it becomes an exclamation point on our prayers. A prayer of, God, do something wonderful for my family becomes, God, do something wonderful for my family. It's an exclamation point. It's something that is something so radical. Well, you know what? Let me just say it this way. It makes God listen better. What do you say? It's not manipulation. But when I begin to fast, God's ear begins to turn. It's a little bit like the parent that a child may walk in and say, Mom, Dad, I'll eat whatever you want for breakfast. And however it is that you want to brush my hair, Mom, I'm fine with it. And I've done every single problem of my homework. In fact, for the next 3 weeks, I'm all caught up. And most of my parents say, whose kid is that? But once we get beyond that, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? When we begin to fast, our prayers suddenly have greater emphasis. And God, listen to what Scripture says. You don't believe it? Here it is. Psalm 10:17. O Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear. Can you visually just begin to see God as fasting takes place? Wait, well, what is it that my child wants? Somebody's fasting over here. Someone is suppressing the desires of the flesh so that they would spend time in my presence. They would begin to pray and begin to ask that I could come and I could heal their land. Let me hear what they have to say. It's God inclining his ear, and that's what fasting gives us opportunity. Fasting says, God, here it is, exclamation point, Ezra. All of Ezra chapter 8 deals so much with fasting. Verse 23, we fasted, we sought our God concerning this matter. He listened to our entreaty. Another version says, he listened to the cries of our mouth. See, have expectation, not manipulation, but an expectation says, God, I am following scriptural principles to fast. Do you know why fasting seems so out of sorts? We don't do it enough. And so it seems like it's this once-in-a-lifetime thing, so it feels like manipulation. If we will continually fast, and fast on a regular basis, it becomes just the same as it is whenever we have an expectation of worship, or an expectation of reading the Word of God, or listening to a message. But we have so uncommonly done fasting that it feels like this out-of-the-normal thing to do. So we encourage you, really allow God to move you to a place my prayers will be emphasized, and God, listen to the cries of my heart. It's Scripture. It's such an exciting thing. Number four, going as quickly as we can. But Ben, I want to tell you this. This is one that is on my card. Not even trying to be, this is it. Families will be restored. You begin to fast, and there is something that is changing, and God's inclined ear, families are restored. If you want to write something out to the side, just go ahead and write, generational curses will be broken. Generational curses will be shattered. The things that have been done in the past will be left in the past. And pastor says it all the time, if there can be generational curses, why not generational blessings? You begin to pray as you fast, God, that this fast is not just for 21 days for my current family, but it's for my grandchildren and for my grandchildren's grandchildren. And that there's something that is going to be a blessing that is passed on to them simply because I want to follow what Scripture says. I'm going to fast. And I'm going to say, God, let me hear what you have to say. Scripture says this, families to be restored, Isaiah 58:12. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called the repairer of broken walls, restorer of the streets with dwellings. See, breaking, shattering of any of the generational curses that may be a part. Oh, it's too deep. You don't know what it is. Expect God to do things that you never dreamed that He could do as we begin to say, God, 21 days, I want to see this miracle happen in my life, shattering these things that have been besetting our family year after year, generation after generation. Go ahead and name them. Write them on that card and say, God, I believe that this may have been in my dad. It may be in my grandfather, but it will not be in me. It will not be in my child. Watch it happen as we begin to pray and we begin to fast. Ezra 8:21, I love this verse. Therefore, I proclaim the fast so that we might humble ourselves before God. Ask Him for a safe journey for us and for our children with all of our possessions. The King James, I think it reads, for our little ones. See, that's why we fast, to say, God, do something that blesses my family. It's not just instantaneous today, but it's something that goes on, and it's inheritance. Number five, addictions and spiritual strongholds can be broken. Judges chapter 19 and 20 is a great example of this. The tribe of Benjamin, if you've never read the story, became incredibly depraved and messed up in their mind, and they began to do some of the worst heinous sexual acts that you could think of, and when called upon it, they began to fight against Israel. Well, Israel, in the fighting, day one, lost 15,000 men. Day two, lost thousands and thousands of men in this fighting. Somebody finally realized, hey, that all going out there and dying every day, not a good plan. It's just not working for us. Called a fast. For the third day, all they did was fast. Day four, after the 24-hour fast, God brought victory, breaking the stronghold of sexual immorality, doing that in an amazing way. So here's what we've got to realize. You've got it in your life. Say, God, begin to break addiction. Begin to break it in my heart. Begin to break lust. Begin to break pornography. Begin to remove the strongholds that can be upon every single mind or upon any individual. And folks, we've got to get this. It happens. Why would Jesus say, coming down off the Mount of Transfiguration, sometimes it only happens through prayer and fasting? It's hard work. Fasting isn't, but you can begin to expect for God to shatter spiritual strongholds. If, in all honesty, if my weapons are not carnal, if my warfare is not supposed to be against flesh and blood, then don't I want to be fit? Don't I want to be ready to truly fight? Think about the army. Think about the Navy. Think about anybody that has been in service years ago and that man trying to get back into his uniform today. Yeah, see, some of you wives have seen your men try and do that on Armed Forces Day or whatever. It doesn't quite fit anymore. It's not as cute and not as handsome as it used to be because somebody stopped working out. Because somebody stopped at some point. And that's not, I'm not slamming anybody here, but I'm saying we don't remain fit. Fasting produces a fitness in our lives spiritually. It produces something that says the armor still fits. The armor is still fitting me right. It's correct. It's not too tight. And when I fast, it breaks these spiritual strongholds. It breaks addictions. Reading in Psalm 69:10-14, Pastor had it up there just a moment ago. But the power there is verse 13. But I pray to you, O Lord God, in the time of your favor and your great love, answer me with your sure salvation. We're really in a position of saying, God, break these strongholds. And watch it happen, church. Pray it for other people and watch it happen. Number six, financial blessings and wisdom are provided. I don't know how often that I've prayed, God, could you just bless us? Could you just help us? God, we tithe. God, we give. When we begin to fast, watch what happened in the book of Joel. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with the new wine and oil. So will I restore to you the years of the swarming locust that they have eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust. Man, there's a whole lot of description. You know what it really is? The evil that comes into our lives, the enemy that comes into our lives, naming, I'm going to restore what has been taken from you. Continuing to read. My great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat plenty, you shall be satisfied, you shall praise the name of the Lord who has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be put to shame. And I love that. That God would say, you're never going to be ashamed. Think about it. In our society today, what is one of the most shameful things? If somebody doesn't have enough, you don't got enough money to buy something, we don't have enough sustenance to do this. If we'll just be honest, every one of us has never been in a spot before where it feels a little shameful. God is saying, fast and watch me begin to bring over abundance into your life that my people would never be shamed. That here in the book of Joel, and here's what I really believe. I believe we're about to see a breakthrough financially. I believe there are families all across this auditorium that as we begin to fast, that God will say, let me begin to pour out the blessings of heaven upon you, because in our obedience, as we've been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks, God will get it to us so that he can begin to move it through us in the sense of watch me bless the society through my people who will humble themselves, who will fast, and who will pray. Number seven, judgment is withheld. See, this one excites my heart. God, thank you for withholding your wrath upon me. When we fast, wrath is held back. Look at the book of Jonah. When the Ninevites were about to perish, something came to these people who were essentially heathens. They began to understand a concept, though, that said in this fasting, quite possibly, there's the only chance that we have that God would relent and wrath would be lifted, that judgment would be withheld. Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. They called a fast in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Do not let man, beast, herd, flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Who knows? Maybe God would turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger. Who knows? Now, what a statement. Maybe there's someone in this room tonight and that's for you. Who knows? I don't know. Should I fast? I've never even thought about. Who knows? Maybe God will begin to really show any one of these things that we're going. Who knows? What do I have to lose is what they're saying. Who knows? And then all of a sudden, what happens? Jonah 3:10. When God saw their deeds, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. He did not do it. Right. See, tonight it's removing of judgment. Number eight, it cleanses our natural body. I won't go deep into this, but it's the removal of toxins. It's the removal of so many of the sugars and preservatives and different things that can begin to happen in our heart. You will see it happen in your physical body. And so tonight, just know it's a cleansing of the natural body. Isaiah 58:8, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. Ninth thing that we begin to benefit and see from a fast, intimate spiritual renewal is produced. So I don't know if there's anybody in the room, but I don't care how deep that you've been with God, there's never a time that you don't want spiritual renewal. There's never a time that you don't say, Father, I want just a little bit more of you. God, could you help? Just let me get a little closer to you. I want to know you in a way that I've never known you before. Fasting is something to expect. And you know what? Here's where we are right now. We are almost at the place that somebody has told us it's going to be good. That it's going to be, that roller coaster is going to be good. That amusement park, you're going to love this. It's going to be fun. And some of us might go, well, I'm not so sure about that. And it's not until you actually begin to step out and experience what can happen that you begin to say, oh, it was so good. In fact, it was so much better than you could have even described with your words. It is, I'm so close to God. I have moved to a place I've never been in my life. And that's what fasting will produce. It will produce an intimate spiritual renewal. Daniel chapter 9. And so I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with him in prayer and petition. In fasting and in sackcloth and ashes, I prayed, Lord, and I confessed. Something intimate when you're willing to confess. There's an intimacy that begins to be produced when you say, God, it's all fallen away and it's just me and you. You've seen the innermost part of my being. You know what? And it doesn't matter. I'm not trying to satisfy my flesh with food. I have made a conscious, disciplined decision that every day, three times a day, I will find time to be with you. God, we're getting so close now. There's an intimacy that is produced. If you're seeking that, saying, I just want to know you like I've never known before, watch it happen over the next 21 days. Number 10, God is glorified. God is glorified. See, we started with God works miracles, and when God works miracles, God is glorified. When His people fast, the benefit is God gets the glory. The benefit is that God is lifted up. The benefit is that we begin to hear His voice and operate as the body of Christ should, and that will always bring glory to God. Simple statement. God is never more glorified, than when we are satisfied with Him. He's never more glorified than when we are satisfied with Him. And when we begin to say, God, satisfy us through You. And as I'm satisfied by who You are and by what You're doing and producing in me, all glory goes to You. It's going to be a powerful time. Be powerful. How many can say any of these 10 things? I want to begin to see it happen in my life. I'm excited because the Spirit of God begins to stir in me, and something is going to change across the landscape of our city. I believe financially our landscape is going to be shared. There's so many things that happen, certainly in the finances. We begin to see it happen corporately. We're going to begin to see it happen in our families. Folks, breakthrough is coming, and it happens whenever we give, when we pray, and when we fast.